Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
We're back.
We're back.
It's been a while.
We're
back. It has been a while. Gosh, did you have a good vacation?
It was it was a good stretch, and a lot's happened between then and now. I was working with Mark in the mornings. You were working with Sean Drotar. Was it just Sean?
I can't even remember, to be honest. Sean for a while. It's been so long. I don't even recall our last show.
I believe it was over a week ago.
Yeah.
It was over a week ago, which seems, twice as long, to be honest. A lot's happened around in the sporting world. I'll say this. I love working with Mark. Love working with all of our hosts here. But there's nothing like being in your seat. You're just like Goldilocks, right? It's like your seat, your time slot, your comfort zone, your co-host.
What's the Goldilocks?
Like, you can tell someone's been sleeping in your bed.
Okay, gotcha.
Someone's been eating your porridge.
That's right. Okay.
Right? So,
old porridge.
Keep your paws off it, Drotar.
That's right.
All right? So, sincerely, it's good to be back here, and it's good to be with you again, Stoke.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Looking forward to a fun show. The Bucks? How about the Bucks?
How about the Bucks?
Awesome.
We're going to get into that because we got a cool little montage that Richie put together. But Stoke, I'm not good at keeping stuff in. Typically, if I have something to say, I'm just going to say it. Just how I'm wired. Yesterday, as I was getting off the air with Mark Schlereth, the last time we talked, Stoke, I didn't know I was going to have a little girl.
That's right.
The last time we were on the air together, I did not know I was going to have a little girl. And I'm going to be a girl dad. The due date is November 30th. And we're really excited. And I just want to get out in front of this and get it off my chest. And then move forward with the show. Because I had a bunch of listeners reach out yesterday for a comment that I made at the very end of the show and said, we're going to have a girl, but we've learned of some hurdles that we're going to have to jump over. Not exactly sure how many. I just want to share what's going on in my life. Because I'm bad at keeping the stuff inside, and it would bother me if I did. So let me just get it out of the way, then we can move on. Our little girl, who is about 5 months along in my wife's belly, has what's called a club foot. On both of her feet, it's a deformity where your feet twist inward. And it's not terribly common, but it's also not terribly uncommon either. It's kind of in this middle ground. And when doctors see this deformity, a bunch of red flags go
sure.
up. And it's a lot of these red flags are very, very serious. And we just didn't know what we were in for in addition to this deformity called clubfoot. We had a great appointment yesterday, Stoke. Today is a good day. Even on the midst of on the heels of me knowing that some of the hurdles we're going to have to jump through, we looked at the organs, we looked at the brain, we looked at the spine, some of these big things that, can really derail someone's life, I'm just so encouraged what we found out yesterday. We're going to have to jump through some hurdles, man, and it's not going to be easy. But what we learned yesterday is, for almost, you can't say, certainty and all this 100% stuff, but more than likely, our daughter, is going to go on and live a really normal life. Unfortunately, when she's born, both of her legs are going to have to go into casts. That'll be like a weekly thing for a while where but much like braces pulling teeth into place, we're going to have to pull some bones into place and it's going to be a painful process. And then that'll eventually go to a brace, Stoke. Well, she'll be in a brace for 23 hours a day. for a while. And then that'll eventually turn into only being worn when she sleeps. So it's hard for me not to get emotional about it because it's the most personal thing in the world. We're going to have nights where it sucks. But this is not a burden that we can't bear. You know, they say, what is it? Tough times don't last. Tough people do. So we're going to tackle this thing head on. I'm actually bizarrely looking forward to the challenge. And we're going to get this little girl right, and we're gonna handle it. So,
yeah, you know, I've both of my kids have had issues early on in their lives, and we've had to go through some hurdles also. And you will persevere, and you will overcome the adversity, and you'll be a great parent to that daughter, you and Ashley both. And you know, I think the biggest part is just like you said, you know. Looking at this thing as it's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be easy, but you know, that's a lot of that is life, and y'all will make it through it. You will make it through it and come out the other side and look back and say, we did it. And you know, I think it's awesome to hear that you got such great news yesterday. And obviously that was a big hurdle. So, happy for y'all. And, you know, y'all will do great.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yep. So, yesterday was a good day leading up to that day, man. Going down the road to Dr. Google, not a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's hard to resist that temptation. Shout out to all the parents that are going through anything like this. The burden of this and stuff like this can be tremendous. So
and it's more widespread than you think. You know, just what, you know, not just your situation, but you know, there's obstacles that, you know, families have to overcome all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Life's not easy. But just keep your fingers crossed and pray that, you know, you're in a great situation and it's going to work out.
Yeah, it is. Hey, have you ever heard of Troy Aikman?
Yeah.
Clubfoot.
Really?
Mia Hamm. Clubfoot.
Wow.
Charles Woodson. Maybe the greatest player in the secondary ever. Clubfoot. Christy Yamaguchi, are your feet important for ice skating?
Yeah,
kind of, right? Clubfoot. So,
there you go.
This is it's.
There's a lot of positive stories out there.
It is. So, all right. Hey, we have a new NBA champion.
Here's Holiday in the mid post left outside. Giannis fakes the three. Now spins in the lane by Aiden, lays it in. What a move by Giannis! Here's Holiday, walks into a three and connects. Caramel chocolates. Giannis goes hard, lays it up and in over Aiden. 47 for Giannis. PJ Tucker's got it. He'll run out the clock. 50 years in the waiting. Giannis Antetokounmpo scores 50 in an MVP performance, delivering the 2021 NBA championship to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Are you kidding me? 50 in a closeout game. For a guy that is quickly becoming one of the great players that we have ever seen. And I think after this last month, and especially after last night, Stoke, he's got a seat at the big boys table. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, just impressive. Really happy for him. Love what he's all about. And it's hard not to root for a guy like that. When you listen to him, you listen to his approach. I mean, this guy just gets it.
Yep.
And, you know, like you said, he's a mega superstar, and he just gets it. And he's in a small market, and he did it the right way. He's worked his tail off. I mean, it's like the Joker, right? The Joker has worked his tail off to get to the position that he was in this year, being an MVP, right? And Giannis did the same thing. You know, you look at him when he came out, you look at his body now and the work that he has put in. How could you not root for that? How could you not be happy for that? And then, oh, by the way, you know, what? Obviously, he struggles shooting the ball from the outside, struggled shooting free throws.
Yep.
You can tell how much he worked on the free throw shooting.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable that, you know, he knew it was an Achilles heel. He knew it could cost him, and he put the work in. And then, oh, in the closeout game, in game six, he goes to the free throw line 19 times and makes 17 of them. I mean, come on.
Come on.
Huh? Seriously.
Absurd.
How awesome
That's
is that?
That's a 40 piece.
How awesome is that to be able to do that in that moment? And, you know, they needed every one of them. And he delivered in the biggest of ways. It's just, it's awesome. And that place was rocking. I thought that place was called the Beer District. It's called the Deer. I just learned that a few days ago.
You got to be kidding.
No. You know, they say it so quick. I just thought, like, it's a big party. It's a beer district, right? You know, you got all kind of beer vendors and everything around. It's the Deer.
And it's Milwaukee, right?
Right.
They call the baseball team the damn Brewers.
That's right.
Do a lot of drinking in Milwaukee.
I didn't think, you know, why would they call it the Deer District? You know, obviously it's the Bucks. I just never even thought that far ahead. But
hashtag happier the deer.
That's right. That place was rocking. So really, really cool for Milwaukee and that team. You know, they've been so close the last, and such a good team the last, you know, whatever, 3 years, and haven't gotten over the hurdle. And you can see similarities there with the Nuggets. What were your overall thoughts about Giannis and the Bucks and
I'm doing
what they did, winning four in a row?
Man, I have so many thoughts. It should be inspiring. It honestly should be inspiring. They're Milwaukee. They're market 37 in the United States. So this narrative of, you know, the basketball, it's all about the big markets. It was Phoenix and Milwaukee in the NBA championship. And Milwaukee wins a title for the first time in five decades. It wasn't too long ago that this was a bad basketball team. It wasn't too long ago, like, Giannis Antetokounmpo, among all his accolades, you talk about how much better he's gotten, he won the award for most improved player. That was just 3 years ago. This guy, last season in 2020, won Defensive Player of the Year in the same season he won MVP. That's Jordan-esque. At one point in time, and I forget the year, I want to say it was 87, 88, something like that, Jordan led the league in scoring while winning Defensive Player of the Year. Like, Giannis is rewriting basketball, the history of it. And I couldn't be a bigger fan. Like, is there anyone more likable?
No.
Like, he's so humble. He's so, like, he has Jokic characteristics.
Yes.
Where he just flies beneath the radar. And
so many similarities
that way. Yeah. I mean, the improvement, the international status, you know, being Greek, and I think he's got some Nigerian ties as well. Yeah. So, I mean, he's just, and the awareness of his status combined with the humility of just being a person is very, very rare to find at the pinnacle, at the top of Everest of that sport in particular, where it's, you know, diva central. I find myself proud of the Bucks and their climb. And this series, you know, showed the climb. Right. The Bucks were bounced in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago. Then they took a step back. They got bounced in the second round last year. And here they are winning the championship. And Stoke, you and I have talked about this for years, how typically more often, 9 out of 10 times, it's a climb. It's a journey. And the Suns had this incredible lightning in a bottle, add water and stir scenario with Chris Paul. Amazing how they got it here. But ultimately, the dividends of the journey paid off last night.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at CP3 and, you know, what they were able to accomplish in Phoenix and get so close and be up 2-0 and then just, you know, I don't want to say fall apart, but Milwaukee just found something, found that extra gear, and won four in a row. It doesn't get better than that. But I think for Nuggets fans, you look at Milwaukee and you look at Phoenix and say, you know, why not us? But I think it was a perfect storm for both of those teams this year, obviously with the injuries that have happened.
Sure, sure.
And you look at the Nuggets, and you look at Giannis, and you look at Phoenix. How have they done it? You know, you draft these guys, right? You draft these guys, and you get the right guys. You have got to get the right guys that want to stay and establish something.
Yep.
And obviously, the Nuggets have. I mean, Jokic isn't going anywhere, right? Giannis isn't going anywhere. I mean, he wanted to be a part of that team, signed the Supermax. You know, all the reports for the last 2 years before he signed it was, where is he going to go? Golden State, Lake, you know, all these different things. And he re-upped. So you've got to get the right guys that want to be a part of that and want to build something and not want to bolt at the first, you know, point of being able to get out of town and go play with someone else.
Yep.
And
can I go to Miami? Can I go to New York?
Right.
Can I go to L.A.?
And that's what, you know, the Nuggets have. That's what Milwaukee has. And, you know, I'm not sure about Phoenix. I mean, you got Chris Paul. We'll see if he's back next year. But Booker re-signed with them. And then Ayton looks like he'll probably sign a big deal with them. So you got to get the right guys in the smaller markets. You can do it. It's a lot harder, obviously. But if you don't draft the right guy, it's hard to get there. And that's what both of those organizations have done.
Yeah, and it's a really good point that you just made, because two things need to happen if you're a market like Milwaukee or if you're a market like Denver. You need to draft the right guy, and that guy has to be the kind of guy that wants to stay. That's not for everyone.
Nope.
You know, whether you're talking about Shaquille O'Neal or Dwight Howard or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
You know what? Like, an opportunity. You win your championship, I think it was back in 71. You got an opportunity to leave and go to the bright lights of Los Angeles. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's person by person. I'm not sure that I wouldn't do it, right? Like, that's very enticing. So it takes a certain kind of human being to want to build it. In a place like Milwaukee, and they have the right combination of guys. You look at a guy like PJ Tucker and Chris Middleton. I mean, Chris Middleton.
Seriously. Wow.
What Chris Middleton did in these finals, man, he was a Scotty to Giannis's Mike. I mean, he was a Kobe in the early 2000s to Shaq. I mean, he was the perfect Robin. So he answered a lot of questions about him, because Middleton's kind of been, like, everyone agrees he's a good player, but he's right. Not like any sort of star.
He was special.
He was special.
In special moments, in big time moments when they needed buckets, that guy was special.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you're right. You know, you look at his performance and the way that he played, and I think he started off slow last night and Holiday, but both didn't start off hot. But the way that he made some big clutch baskets down the stretch, and he did it all in the playoffs. So, yeah,
I mean,
hats off to him. Great playoffs for Middleton.
No question about it. And he is assembling for his own self an incredible, incredible career. So a massive feather in his cap. And then you talk about a guy like Drew Holiday, who might be the most underrated player that this league has to offer. Defensively, I'm not so sure he's not the best on-ball guard defender in the National Basketball Association. So you have those guys combined with, like, the toughness of a P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker didn't score last night. Like, didn't score a point. And that wasn't the first time it's happened this series. But you need a guy that's got that metal. He's kind of like your backbone. He's your, you know, the Suns kind of have that in Jay Crowder, the Kendrick Perkins of the world. You know, you need a guy like that on a title team. And I think the Nuggets could use a guy like that, by the way.
I agree.
And we could have that discussion maybe a little bit later on. But then, like, you got, you know, Brook Lopez, former All-Star who's at the second half of his career, who's just rock solid. You know, who's going to give you 10 points on 5 of 10 shooting, grab down 8 to 10 boards.
He usually shoots a three pretty good, too. He didn't last night, but he usually does.
He's very capable from three, and he's gotten so much better at that throughout his career. And then you got guys coming off the bench like Bobby Portis.
I mean, how big did he play?
He was tremendous.
And he's also like the P.J. Tucker. You know, he's got something to him, and he's got that toughness to him. And he played big. I mean, 16 points? He was big time last night.
Yep, he was. And, you know, he found the perfect spot. You know, Bobby Portis kind of had a mixed start to his career. And in Chicago, he punched a teammate, Nikola Mirotic, at one point, and kind of, like, had this bad reputation. And he's been great for the Bucks and a model citizen from everything that I understand. But it was great, man. It was, I think that if you're a Nuggets fan, you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's really not too dissimilar of a setup that Tim Connelly has orchestrated here in Denver, Colorado. So I'm inspired from a basketball standpoint. And check this out, Stoke. Like, you have Milwaukee win the title last night. 2 years ago, we saw a team like Toronto win it. Golden State, not necessarily like, you know, the smallest market, but certainly not like New York or Los Angeles. We saw Cleveland win it in 2016.
Well, Golden State, you know, they also hit it right. You know, they drafted Clay, they drafted Steph, they drafted Draymond, and then, you know, and so they were special teams, and then all of a sudden, KD, you know, comes to town.
Yeah.
To want to be a part of that party. So, yeah, they did it that way.
But they won a title before Kevin never showed up.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. They were a great team before.
For sure.
And then KD shows up and they, you know, take it to the next level.
So it can be done.
That's
like,
right.
Like this kind of.
But you've got to draft the guy. Yep. You have got to draft well, and the Nuggets have already done it.
They've done it. So the most important part of the equation or the construct, the box is checked.
Because you have no chance if you don't.
You
none.
No chance. And then, but if you're really going to put yourself in that conversation, you need a Robin like Chris Middleton. And the Nuggets have that as well in Jamal Murray.
They got that check for sure.
They got that check for sure. So, like.
And you got a third if that guy develops in Michael Porter Jr.
Yes.
So you have a third guy also.
Yes. Yes. And that third guy would be Drew Holiday for the Bucks.
That's right.
So, like, there is a pathway for the first time in a long time for the Denver Nuggets to be on a stage like the Bucks were last night. And you see the excitement. You see the excitement in Milwaukee. Could it ever reach that fever pitch here in Denver like that? Stoke, I thought, and I forget who's anchoring the coverage here. Maybe it was Rachel Nichols or I forget. But I thought she misspoke when she said there was 65,000 people outside. I thought she misspoke. I thought it was 6,500.
No.
There was 65,000 people outside the arena.
Yeah, three times of what the arena holds.
That's insane. That's almost like
if
mile high.
If you were listening
high
to the show yesterday, you would have known that it was 65,000, not 6,500.
I was not listening to the show yesterday.
I know, but if you were, you'd have got educated.
I just didn't realize the Bucks are, man, they are the stars of town.
They are. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, it's just because, you know, us here, we can relate. We can relate to that journey that they just went through. And so how could you not be happy for them? And you know, another thing on Giannis here that I think is just awesome is, you know, he obviously, you know, what, two MVPs? The best player in the league for a while, obviously. And they kept on coming up short. Right. They kept on just like underachieving in the playoffs. I mean, because they were always the best team in the East for the most part, one or two seed, and they always kept coming up way, way short in the playoffs. He could have bolted very, very easily and said, you know what? This is just too tough of a journey.
Yep.
Let me go join LeBron. Let me go join Kawhi. Let me go join Steph and Clay and Draymond and make this thing easier for myself.
Yep.
And he didn't. And he stayed the course. And he went through the fire. And he won a championship. I just think that is so cool and so awesome.
He didn't run from the grind.
He didn't. You know who ran from the grind?
Kevin Durant.
Yeah. And you look at it from an Oklahoma City perspective and what they had, they could have done it if they would have just been tougher.
Yeah.
And if they would have just stuck together.
Yeah.
And if they wouldn't have tried to, you know, if KD wouldn't have tried to bolt, they could have done that for sure.
They
wouldn't have wanted to play with Russ and KD.
They were
in
the finals.
And I know they traded Harden.
They were in the NBA finals, that group. And people forget that sometimes, that they were in the championship series. I think the year was maybe 2007 or something like that. It was 2012. They lost to the Miami Heat, but they were there. You talk about close. That team was closer than this Bucks team ever was before this season.
And they had the Warriors on the ropes.
Yep.
Years later, I don't know if it's 3-1 or whatever it was, and 3-2, and they were playing at home, and you know, couldn't finish that season off. So, but you know, KD ran, not Giannis, and he's rewarded in a big way. And there's nothing better than when you go through the fire and you go through the grind, and then you come out on top. And you know, that's what we did in Indy. Yeah, that's what we did in Indy. I mean, we went through it. Good teams just could never get over the hump, and then finally got over the hump. And it is so rewarding when you go through those struggles and that adversity, and you persevere through it, and you come out on top, and you become a champion. And so I think it's just a great story all the way around.
Man, awesome. I absolutely love it. Good for the Milwaukee Bucks. Good for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mike Budenholzer, who was getting questioned like crazy just a week and a half ago, and how things change dramatically. All right.
Was James Marillac questioning him?
Oh, he wanted him out. He wanted him out after the second game. Oh, by the way.
Hashtag Teflon Mike.
But by the way.
What's his name?
Teflon Mike.
Oh, Teflon. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah,
there
Teflon
we go.
Mike. Let me just eat some crow. I haven't seen the text line. I'll just get out in front of it. I thought this series was over after two games, and you said, hold on, Zach, just slow down. You know, sometimes I get ahead of myself.
That?
You did. You did. You've showed a little signs of wisdom there.
There we go.
And patience. You said,
"Hold on, just a little
and
bit."
That's what you said to me. And you were on it, man. This I can't remember a series shifting this dramatically at a certain pivot point where it was all Suns and it looked like they had all the answers to the test, and then they look lost, and the Bucks just take it by force. Four straight games. Really an unusual setup to be down 2-0 and win four straight in NBA history. So certainly historic in that regard as well. All right, there has been so much that has happened since the last time you and I sat down and did a show together, and I want to talk about the latest chapter in the Aaron Rodgers saga, and we'll do that coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
This Aaron Rodgers saga is, it's been, I'll say this, it's been kind of a roller coaster, but then almost like not one at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a roller coaster.
I think it's been a roller coaster, but why not?
Because we don't really have any tangible twists and turns to point to. Like, there's been, like, these little leaks and these little, you know, this guy says this, this other guy says that, this famous analyst speculated this. It's not like there has been a public war necessarily between Rodgers and the Packers. We've just kind of put it together using puzzle pieces.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't told us anything. He hasn't really said anything. I mean, he said a few things with his actions, but he hasn't spoken the words, "I want to be traded."
Right.
"I want out.
Right.
Get me out of Green Bay. I can't stand the GM." I mean, he hasn't said that. I mean, he's given some cold words, and you know, you can tell he's not happy with how they treat people, certain people treat other people, you know, when he did the Kenny Mayne interview. So but you're right. I mean, we're just left to kind of, you know, put the pieces together to see how this thing is going to unfold here in the next, you know, couple weeks, the next month or two.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to follow. It feels like maybe a 30 for 30 in a couple years.
It has been fun, hasn't it?
It really has. I mean, especially from what we do. I mean, it's been fun to kind of just follow along and give updates. And the fact that the Broncos specifically are so uniquely tied to this situation, it's look.
Well, that makes it.
It makes it. It does.
If not, we wouldn't be talking about it that much. But this heavily involves the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
Because if he gets traded, the Broncos are, you know, top two or top three, probably top of the list of teams that he would be traded to. So it heavily impacts the Broncos for this season and maybe for the next three or four. We've seen what a great quarterback can all of a sudden do to your organization.
That's right.
And we're thirsty for that. We want to do it again. We want to see it again. And it's right here. You know, so if it didn't impact us in that magnitude, I don't think we would be talking about it the way that we are.
No. Since draft night, honestly, it's been since draft night until now.
We've been Mark gave it to us.
we've been
on it.
We have.
Are the hairs on your arm still standing up?
No. No,
I mean,
they
are.
So
giddy.
They are pretty flat. I was beyond pumped.
I heard he gave some other news on the air a few days ago.
No, well, what
happened to him? Did he get caught slipping?
No, well, we thought there was an update for
we or he. You did too?
No, well, he thought he saw something on Twitter that those fake accounts will get you now.
They got him with the old fake account.
The old fake news.
Oh, come on, Mark.
I'm on crazy pills.
we cleaned it up the following segment.
A little house cleaning. A little house cleaning. Yeah. It happens.
Just a little house cleaning.
It's not a big deal.
Okay, here's Mike Florio. This is Mike Florio on the air in Minneapolis on KFAN with Paul Allen. Check this out.
I have believed all along that Rodgers is going to show up.
I think he wants to keep it uncertain through July 26th, the day of the shareholders meeting, so Mark Murphy has to deal with all the crap of the shareholders slash fans slash cheeseheads who are antsy and upset about all the uncertainty.
Right.
And then the next day, we find out that Aaron Rodgers shows up. I didn't buy the thing from this past weekend when he said, I'll figure it out in a couple of weeks. Well, in a couple of weeks, camp opens. You better figure it out before a couple of weeks. You had 6 months to figure it out. So I think he knows what he's going to do. And frankly, I think he's more likely to get traded if he shows up. Because I think Mark Murphy would rather he not show up than he becomes the villain. And they can go forward with Jordan Love. They make $30 million net if he doesn't show up. I think he shows up and starts that passive-aggressive crap and hopes that at some point in the middle of August, Murphy just says, enough, let's go with Jordan Love and let's get what we can and move on from this guy.
Okay, there is a lot there.
Yeah.
But how about the idea that it might be more advantageous for Aaron if he wants to get traded to show up, and whether that becomes more advantageous because it's a face-to-face conversations and just truly get the ball rolling. Like, I'm here, but I'm not playing for you guys. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a possibility. I haven't really thought of it that way. Thought if he was going to show up, you know, he would be all in. That's just my thought process with Aaron Rodgers. What are you going to show up and be, you know, like Mike Florio said, passive aggressive or whatever the term he used, and just kind of be a malcontent? I don't think that's a good look. I think that's the worst look you could have if you were Aaron Rodgers, worse than sitting out. If you show up and you're a bad teammate and you're bad, just being a bad apple, you know, that's an awful look. And I don't think he could do that. I don't think he's wired that way. When you got buddies on the team and you got a guy like Davante Adams that you've been through it with and that y'all been special together, I mean, are you going to just not go out there and perform for that guy? How about Bakhtiari and the rest of the offensive line?
Yeah.
Your running back, Aaron Jones, and I mean, it just the tight end and the, you know, it's just like if you show up and you're not all in, that's an awful, awful look to me. But we'll see how.
And like it, you said, like, you know, yes, it's a bad look, but I just can't see him doing that to his teammates. I can't see him putting his own self in that position to, like, you're going to sandbag your own performance or you're going to act over the top like a jerk when you're around your teammates. I just can't. Like, Aaron's prickly. He seems like, he's a, quote, complicated fella. But I can't see him taking it that far.
Right.
I just can't see him doing that.
Now, you know, you're damaging your teammates and you're hurting your teammates, and you show up, you're all in. If not, you know, if you don't want to show up, then, you know, if you're trying to prove a point, then just don't show up. But if you, I think you take a big hit with your reputation.
Yeah.
If you show up and you act like that, like a baby.
Yeah. And if you have been so careful this whole time to not make yourself look like the villain, it's hard to believe that he would go to such a departure from that. You know,
can you imagine now the Packers win to
right,
me.
Right.
Like, hey, this guy, yeah, he's showing up, but man, he's being a,
right,
you know what, a jerk.
Right.
And he's just not all in. He's not committed. I mean, can you imagine how they could spin it to make themselves look good and make Aaron Rodgers look bad if he acts like that? I think that would be the worst thing for him to do.
Yeah, agreed. Here's more of Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio on the air yesterday in Minnesota.
I mean, if he did that, man, that would usurp the team, and then he would take putting himself first to a new level.
Well, yeah, but he already has. Look at what's gone on throughout the entire offseason. His most recent explanation is that he wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to work on his mental health. That's fine, and that's important. But at the same time, his working on his mental health included absolutely no activities with any of his teammates, either voluntary, mandatory, or off-site, which, you know, guys like Tom Brady do all the time. He's done no preparation for the season.
Okay. And lastly, I want to play this cut on the heels of that. This is more Florio and actually mentioning Denver here.
He's done nothing by way of getting to the level of comfort that his top competitor in the NFC, the guy who beat him at home in the NFC Championship, has done. The team that's returning all starters on both sides of the ball continues to push and push and push, and Rodgers took his foot off the gas pedal in the hopes of sliding into a new car. And now what's he going to do? He's going to put his foot back on the gas pedal after 6 months off of it? I just that may be part of the plan for when he shows up to help Mark Murphy justify trading him, because he's not ready. We got the guy here, the second-year guy that we decided to trade up in round one to draft, who's been engaged for all of the offseason. He's as ready as he's ever going to be, and Aaron isn't. So let's drop him into Denver and let them deal with him.
Let's drop him into Denver and let them deal with him.
Drop him. Drop. We'll take him. He didn't look like he was in football shape. He didn't look like he was going to be, you know, in the match. He just didn't look like that. So I don't know how much he's been training or working out, but he didn't look like he's been grinding to me.
Look like he's been hanging out in Boulder.
In Hawaii. Enjoying himself. So that it's going to be interesting to see.
Dancing, cocktailing, growing the hair out.
Yeah.
He's a free bird. See if he'll be a bird here in Denver. We're going to continue to track it until we have a development. But we know we will have some sort of definitive new chapter in 6 days when training camp opens up. And speaking of that, could the Broncos kill two birds with one stone? Make that feed two birds with one scone by making a trade before training camp even starts? Interesting conversation. We'll take a dive into next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Guess who's back? Could the Broncos kill two birds with one stone? Sorry, PETA. By making making a trade before training camp even starts.
You gotta feed. What is it? Feed?
Feed two birds with one scone was PETA's alternate. Don't want to kill two birds with any stone.
No.
Okay. You gotta go outside the box with me on this one.
Okay.
All right. And I'm not sure if you and Sean addressed this yesterday, but this is something that Stink and I stumbled upon yesterday morning when we heard the Cam Akers news. Unfortunate for the second-year player out of Florida State, drafted in the second round a year ago. Really nice start to his career.
Yeah, great start to his career.
Good start.
I don't have the stats in front of me. I just know he
what do you think they were?
All I know is down the stretch, he was balling.
He was balling.
Okay, that's all I know.
Copy that. He was 625 yards and two touchdowns.
I know he had a couple big games down the stretch.
He did. And he missed some games too, so you take that into account. But he's a good young football player. There's no question. He goes down with an Achilles injury. Just brutal. We're working away from the facility. We heard the news yesterday morning while we were on the air. If Javonte, don't forget, the Broncos moved up to the very top of the second round. What was he, like the fifth pick of the second round? Something like that? That's as close to a first-round running back as you're going to get without him being in the first round. The Broncos love Javonte Williams. All right, he is the plan at the position. He's the organizational plan. At a position, Brandon Stokely, where guys routinely come in the league and have massive success. Running backs, it's not like tight end. You can just kick the door down.
Yep.
You can kick the door down. You can look at Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Jonathan Taylor, James Robinson. We saw it firsthand with Phillip Lindsay, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs, Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley. The list goes on and on of guys who just walk in the league and are 1,000-yard guys. If the Rams are in full-blown Super Bowl mode, and if the Broncos are not in Super Bowl mode, and Melvin Gordon is on the final year of really a two-year rental, does it make sense for the Broncos to at least entertain the idea of a trade?
Wow. This is interesting. I like this conversation. I hadn't thought about that because I'm thinking, well, who's going to trade for Melvin Gordon and take on that contract and take on that money? But now you have a team that is a Super Bowl contender. They have Super Bowl hopes. They are going all in for these next couple years. They're going all in for this year. They just traded for Matthew Stafford. They want a running game. They should have a dynamic passing game. You lose your starting running back that you were so excited about. Now, if you're the Broncos, I think, yes, you entertain it for sure. I just don't know if you make the move, because if you're the Broncos, you have invested a lot into this football season. I mean, they're not playing for next year. They are playing for this year to win now. So is Vic. I mean, that's what their actions have told me.
Sure.
And I think it's going to be a run-heavy football team, a run-first football team. When you don't have great quarterback play, what's the best thing to do offensively? Run the football.
That's right.
You got all your offensive linemen returning, four out of five, excuse me, returning. Should be an upgrade on the right side, the right tackle position. I mean, they ought to be able to run the football pretty effectively. So do you want to get rid of, you know, arguably, your best running back, right, that we know of right now with and Melvin Gordon? Do you want to do that? Injuries happen. What happens if you trade him? Then Javonte Williams gets hurt, and now you're stuck there, and, you know, what do you have? So I think if you plan on running the football a lot, you don't make the move.
I think it's easy for me. I think it's easy for me to say, well, the Broncos aren't in Super Bowl mode.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean they're not thinking they're not in win now mode.
Well, they have told us they're in win now mode.
Correct.
By their actions, right? I mean, they brought back Vaughn. Right? You know, they didn't get an extension done. They're paying Kyle Fuller a whole lot of money for 1 year. They paid Ronald Darby a whole lot of money. I mean, they paid Shelby Harris a ton of money. I mean, and Shelby should be here for a couple years, but you're looking at some of these deals and they're saying they want to win now. So why would you get rid of Melvin Gordon? Now, what can you get for him? That would be the question. Now, if they gave you a great deal, then okay, I think you might entertain it. But I mean, where do you draw that line, Zach? What number would you say yes, and what number would you say no when you're looking at draft picks possibly?
That's a good question, because we have to keep in mind that it's the Rams who would be taking on that contract. So it's not like we have to, and I know not you are thinking like this, but our listeners, you know, sometimes you lose focus on the fact that they're inheriting the number. So that's part of this fake transaction. They're going to have to pay him. Salary is about
$4.5 million.
Yeah, about $4.5 million this year. He's already been paid the signing bonus, right?
Yes.
So it's not a massive amount of money. Let me answer your question. Let's say if the Rams offer, I don't think you're definitely not getting a first round pick.
No,
you're more
no.
likely not getting
Rams
a second round pick.
Rams don't have a first round pick for the next 50 years anyway.
There you go. If they offered a third round pick, I think he'd do the deal. Melvin Gordon is a good football player. He's not a great football player. He's had a great season in 2017. But that's a long way in the rear view.
Third round pick?
Because, you know, here's the other essential part of this conversation. This is it. This is the last year. It was a 2 year deal. The way that the contract was set up, he was going to be here anyway. I think that it's, yes, it's, you know, for the Broncos, it's about right now, but George Payton has got to have his eyes on the future.
Yeah.
You know, his mindset with accumulating draft picks. I think if a third round pick was on the table, you already drafted your plan, Javonte Williams. You love him. He's nearly a first round back. I think you'd do that deal.
I agree with you. I think I'd take a third round pick. You clear, you know, $4.5 million this year, cash savings. Your cap, you got a cap hit of what, 8.9 this year?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of that pretty much goes away. So, there's significant savings from that perspective. And then, you know, you get a third round pick, and then you're high on Mike Boone also. I know he's a special teams guy, but you're high on him, obviously. He's a good, solid, tough football player that can back up a guy like Javonte Williams. And you still have Royce Freeman.
Right.
Okay, let's go. I mean, so you do take a hit to the backfield, certainly when you lose that type of player. You're starting running back, Melvin Gordon. But at the same time, like you said, this is it for him. You're not going to be re-signing him after this year. That's definitely not going to happen. So why not make the move now and get yourself a third-round pick?
Right.
You know, would you take a fourth-round pick? Bunch of Stokelys in the fourth round. Come on.
You know, I'd have to think about it, but I think I would entertain it.
I think I would, too.
But I'll say this. This conversation changes if you think that you can land Aaron Rodgers. I think it changes.
It does change. You're right. You're right. It absolutely changes because you want to just keep your roster intact as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey, we got great depth here.
Right.
You can never have, you know, too much depth at any position, but certainly the running back position.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. And so you want to keep that depth, and you wouldn't even entertain it for a fourth round pick then. But if we're not thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to happen, then I think I would do the fourth round pick, and you get cap savings, you get cash savings, and you can use that for other things. And you just turn the page and let's see this young superstar, Javonte Williams, that you moved up for in the second round. This guy should be a stud. I mean, he looks like it. You watch him on film. He looks great. Let's just see it. Let's see it. That's kind of where my mind is.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a conversation worth having. I think it's a good one.
Well, because with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, it is. I didn't even think about it. But with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you know, all of a sudden you become a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
Without him, can you make the playoffs? Can you not? I mean, you know, you're on the fringe there.
That's where the conversation goes.
You're on the outside looking in.
Right.
I mean, why hold on to Melvin Gordon at that point?
Right, in the final year. And by the way, if he's getting out of bounds, trying to get 1,000 yards in Week 17, what do you think he's going to do in a contract year? Dude's going to be putting Aslax in Javonte Williams' coffee. All right.
What is going on? What is Stink doing to you in the morning? Holy cow.
What's going on?
All right.
What's happening?
Are you kidding me?
Are the Rockies in a lose-lose scenario with Trevor Story? I think that they are, and I want to bounce it off you coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.